Please have a seat. And would you give Mary a round of applause? Just because it's a brave thing to do this stuff. And Mary, I'm just praying you just go get him. Just, I know you've got a powerful word on your heart. Just get him.
Go. All right. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's a wonderful day. Praise the Lord, right? Amen. Okay, you're awake. That's good. So anybody, raise a hand if you got to enjoy the sunshine somehow yesterday. It was a beautiful day, wasn't it? I loved it. I got outside and ran on the loop trail, and I saw lots of people down there and playing and enjoying this sunshine, because it's been quite the winter, hasn't it? We're primed for some sunshine, that is for sure. And I was running on the trail, and it was similar to a run I took a while ago, but I was running out on the irrigation canal in Wenatchee, which is usually a really beautiful place to run. Whenever, do they open it in April? Like April through October or November, because there is actually water flowing through the canal. And it's a great thing because the water gives life to our gardens and our lawns and all the beautiful orchards and trees that grow in this valley. It's a wonderful thing. And I was running along on this day about a month ago, maybe a little more than that, because I'm pretty sure it was January. And I was listening to the song we first sang this morning, which was "Make Me a River, let your Spirit Flow Through Me." And I'm purposely not singing it because I want y'all to stay here. But I was praying that, and I was picturing, yeah, God, I want to be in your river. I want to be there with the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit flow in my life. And I'm picturing this beautiful river, kind of like our beautiful Columbia River. What a gift we have that it flows through our valley. And I was picturing green grass on the sides and like rainbows and puppies. And it was just an amazing time. And then I looked down at the irrigation canal. I was running along, because if you ever have been on that in like November through March, you know that the theme color is gray and brown, and it's empty. And this day that God put this message on my heart, I took this picture. And there's ducks in there, and they're like, what is going on? My feet are frozen to the ground, and there's like this layer of ice, and there's no water, and it's not a good time for them. And I got to thinking, God, how am I living my life with your abundance, with the Holy Spirit flowing through me, or are there lots of days and lots of moments where maybe my life looks like this canal, which I always call it the ditch, which sounds even worse, right? But does it look like this? Because I'm not letting those gates of your Holy Spirit flow in my life. Well, the difference for us than the duck is that, well, the duck probably, I mean, I should have told him you could have just flown like as the crow flies, went a half a mile and you'd be in the river. But for us, when we have those moments, we're not in the river, or we haven't been living in the river, we haven't been living with the Holy Spirit in our lives, letting him be the guide of our lives, we can choose any time to get in, to grab hold of the grace of Jesus Christ, and to be a part of God's work in this world. How do we do that? You're going to hear me say these two words a whole bunch today, and I hope you go home and I'm like that stuck song thing that goes through your head. Ask and listen. We need to ask and listen. We need to be asking the Lord. Maybe it's first asking him into our hearts. Maybe it's asking him where we will go, where he would lead our lives. And then that important thing, we need to listen. Because the two separate don't work so well together. Have you ever had somebody ask you a question and then they just take off talking? I'm sorry if I've ever done that to you. But it's not that much fun. And the Lord wants us to listen. He wants us to ask. So today, we're going to be looking at Scripture in the book of Acts. If you want to go turn your Bible to whatever format of the Bible you use, or we'll have the words up on the screen as well. And I want to think about, though, what's going on in the beginning of the book of Acts. It's an amazing time. At this point, Jesus is sitting down at another meal with his disciples. And he's already sat down for a meal with them earlier. Jesus has been doing his work in the world. He's been fulfilling the prophecy that was given for the Messiah. He's died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He went into the tomb, and on the third day, as promised, he rose again. And he's now, and this time, been out and talking with his disciples again, giving them some final instructions. And here he is, giving them some instructions about this Holy Spirit that is going to come upon them. This Holy Spirit that has been promised to them. This is an exciting time. Let's read. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So he's telling them about this gift, about this Holy Spirit that is about to come on them, because he's going to depart, but he leaves them with this power inside of them that we still have today, that is our advocate, that is our guide, that when we turn to, that we get to walk through this world with. We can see some examples of how the apostles go out into the world and how they let the Holy Spirit be the power and the guide as they are witnesses in Judea and Samaria. Let's look first at, we're going to be in Acts. I'm sorry, I apologize. I skipped ahead a little bit. We'll go back and we'll find these examples in just a minute. But when we look at verse 4 of Acts, Jesus is doing something really important, because it's time for the disciples to be listening. And so he sits them down at a meal. So we nowadays, we encourage families, right? There's all this knowledge that we should sit down and have meals together. It's an important thing, because when we have meals together, part of that is we get to listen to one another. We know Jesus is wise. He knows what he's doing when he's sitting down with them, because they need to listen for the next instructions that he has for them. He wants them to wait. It's very, very important that they wait, because they might want to scatter about. It would be tempting at this time to scatter about. It might be scary, right? They've just watched Jesus crucified on the cross. And now he's saying, stay here, because John baptized with water, but soon you're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You need that gift before you can go out into the world. And they hear this and they ask. They've listened. Now they're asking this question. Next they're asking, well, what's going to happen with Israel? That's what they're wondering. And they say, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They're curious. They're asking this question. And then they listen because Jesus does have an answer for them, but it doesn't look like what they think they're going to hear. How often does that happen in our lives? We have a question and say, Jesus, what's going to happen with this? And we're kind of expecting it to look like we think it's going to look like. But Jesus, usually we get an answer that's a bit of a turn, right? Maybe it isn't what we expected it to be. But he wants us to stick with him in that. And just like those disciples, he wanted them to stick with where they were going. And he answered them, it is not for you to know the time and the place. It is not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and the ends of the earth. He is giving them a new assignment, right? Okay, now to the part I skipped ahead, as you're wondering, where does that all come in, right? So I got so excited about the work they were doing, and now we're going to be there. So we are going to be in Acts 6:16, and we're going to look at Paul, because Paul receives guidance from the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes out with his companions. They traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. I think there's an important part here. Well, it's all important, of course, but they were kept from preaching somewhere. Sometimes God holds us back from doing things we think we really want to do. I have a few things that I'm like, God, I'd really love to do that. But he's not sending me there. He's not calling me to that. He holds us back sometimes because he has other work for us to do in other places, or because sometimes he's protecting us. And we need to trust where he's leading us. We see another example with Stephen. Stephen's going out and he's doing all these wonderful things, but he's getting resistance. You ever had resistance? I've had a lot this week. It seems like the times I've come to preach, I hear the enemy saying, who do you think you are? You ever hear that? I appreciate that he's been consistent, because now I know. And I know the Lord protects me from that. They could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. I should have had protection in there, because Stephen was protected and he was given wisdom. So how do we do this? How do we receive the power that we've been called to receive? We've all been called to receive it, and we're all called, even if you think, no, maybe not me, yes, you, we're all called to receive the power and to be witnesses in the world in the way that the Holy Spirit has in mind for us. How do we do that? Those words I promised you, we ask and we listen. We ask, where are we going? We ask, do I get in the river now? Yes, you do. And we listen. We listen to the guidance the Lord has for us. We're all called. So let's look at this power part. Like, how do we receive this power? You can read on in Acts about how the power came on to the disciples. What about for us? Well, for us, if we use this analogy of this river, we're going to talk about rivers a lot today, and if we use this analogy of this river, we need to get in. Not be on the sideline, but we need to get in. What does that look like? Maybe that looks like today for you, accepting Christ in your life today. Maybe today is your day, and if it is, I pray that you fearlessly accept him into your life. Maybe you've been in the river, but maybe you're like hanging on to the side, you know, like we sometimes do in the pool. Maybe you're hanging on to the side of the river, afraid to just let go and let the Holy Spirit guide you. But we need to get in. Or maybe we need to get back in. But we know that these rivers, they're always changing. We can look at a picture above a river, and we can see that they make these big curves constantly. You know, rivers are always trying to be as efficient as possible. So that means they're always changing. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, three in one, they don't change. They're always the same. But where we are led by them changes. Sometimes God has in mind for us to work somewhere else in the world or do something different. We are not in control, and we need to let go of trying to be in control and let the Spirit flow through us. Sometimes these lakes form. I got to learn about these lakes doing homeschool this year. Homeschool is awesome because you get to learn all the stuff you never listened to in school in the first place, and it's so great. And so I never had learned about Oxbow Lakes before. If anyone taught me, I didn't remember it. But I did have really good teachers, I'll say that. But so you can see, if you look up kind of in the middle right side in the middle, you see this little, it looks like there's a river, but it just ends. It's called an Oxbow Lake. So what happens is when the rivers start to change, because they're trying to be the most efficient, so there's all this erosion and flowing stuff that happens. And so eventually, you see where it comes together really close in the middle? Eventually, that's just going to come all the way together, and then another one of those lakes is going to be formed. Does this sound maybe familiar if we apply this to our spiritual lives? Like we're going along, we're doing great, we're right there with the Holy Spirit, we're listening, and all of a sudden we're like, wow, I'm not moving. I'm not moving. Things are getting a little sedentary. You know how the water gets in lakes? It gets a little weird and murky and smelly. And so we're feeling that, and we're realizing the river is flowing over here. The beautiful thing for us, the gift that we have, is the grace of Jesus Christ. That we just need to hold on to that, and we can get right back in the river. We can get right back in the flow of where the Holy Spirit has us. Here's another thing that happens with rivers is they get a little icy. They ice over, and this picture I took out of the plane as we were heading up to Shaktulik, Alaska. Watching these rivers. There's a few Oxbow Lakes you can see up in there. But they get iced over. And I was blessed to get to give this message at the church in Shaktulik a couple of weeks ago. And our friend Gary, which I know is friends with some of you guys in here that have been up there, he's a native to the village of Alaska. And after the service, he was talking to Eric and I. And he said, you know, I have this illustration that I thought about when we think about the ice and we think about our sin. Because ice forms on the top of the river. And sometimes we try to cover our sin. But when we try to cover our sin for long enough, it weighs down on us. And what eventually happens in the river is that water from underneath spills out on the side. We can't hide our sin. Eventually, it's going to show up some way, somehow. Again, though, gratefully, with the grace of Jesus Christ, even our hardest of sins, the things we think we could never be forgiven for, the things we think we have iced over so well, those can be melted away. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes there are things to deal with and consequences. But the beautiful thing is that we can let go of the shame in our hearts that comes around sin. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Gary, for that. The river will go where it's going to go. The Lord is going to accomplish his plans here on earth. He has fulfilled every promise he has made to us. And he will continue to do that. He will continue to go where he is going to go? And how do we grab onto that Holy Spirit? How do we feel the power of the Holy Spirit? And how are we witnesses in this world? We ask and we listen. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how we're witnesses in this world. He said to those disciples, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jerusalem was right where they were. Judea and Samaria were those regions that they were in, and to the ends of the earth are to the ends of the earth, right? Well, for us, how do we let that flow, that Holy Spirit in us, flow through all of those areas in our lives? It starts right here in our own hearts. Where for them, it started with them and it started in Jerusalem. It starts inside here. And we ask and we listen and we ask God, "God, what's going on in my heart? What are you doing in my heart? What about that thing I'm really passionate about? I'm really passionate about justice. And it's taken me a while to learn, like, God, what are you doing with that?" And then listening to where he's taking me, and it is not where I thought it was going to be. I never in a million years thought I was going to be on staff at a church or be standing here talking to you today. That wasn't what I thought my life was going to look like. But right? The Holy Spirit leads where he does. And we need to ask, each of you need to ask that in your own hearts. We also need to ask, God, what are these words in my heart? What words am I speaking to myself? Are they the words you want me to speak to myself? What do you want me to speak? And then from that, this flows out into our homes, into our families, into our close circles. And again, we can be asking. I love this question I heard, to ask your kids or your spouse or those people you live with, "When did you feel the most love today?" And hear them. Wait for them to respond. Another thing is, there's kind of these asking things that we don't necessarily ask the question. Things happen that we just need to listen to. Like, say my cell phone went out and then our kids are cheering and saying, "Yay!" We might need to listen to that. I'm super guilty of being on my phone a lot. And if I hear those cheers, it's like, okay, I need to hear that. That you need me to look at your face. They are called to go into Judea and Samaria. And like that, I think we are called into our own neighborhoods. I've had this on my heart, and I have not done it well, is to get to know my neighbors. There's a woman here who I'd like you to meet. Her name is Kristen Schell, and she's going to talk to you a little bit about being present, or to share some of her story about being present in her own neighborhood. She wrote a book called The Turquoise Table, because one day she was having a party, and she needed a table, so she went to Lowe's, and she got this turquoise table, and she put it in her front yard for the party, fully intending to put it in the backyard when the party was over. But they ended up keeping it in the front yard, and she sat out there. And let's learn what happens.
Doing something. By going out front, I was saying to God, "Here I am, Lord. Your will be done. Go before, behind, and beside me into the neighborhood." And that very day, life changed. And I met a neighbor within 3 hours of putting a table out in my front yard. A lot has happened since putting the table out there. There are a handful of women who are now very close friends who I did not know. It has become kind of a gathering place.
I'm Bob. This is my daughter, Peggy.
So one of the best things is just the sense of normal community, everyday life. The neighborhood kids come over. They'll do homework when the weather's pretty. We've had lemonade stands, hot cocoa stands. More intimately, It's a place where I can meet and have met neighbors who now pop by with coffee and just for 15 minutes, a conversation over coffee that wouldn't have happened. The Lord has taught me, and I am learning to be present. It sounds like it should be a no-brainer, but listening is not a skill that came naturally at first to me, nor was being present.
I have this t-shirt that says, all I need is a little coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. I think I need to add, like, my neighbors, because we need our neighbors. And he didn't say, go witness in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth, right? It wasn't like this and, it wasn't or to the ends of the earth is what I meant to say, but it's to all of them. She gives us a great example. I heard someone else after the first service said they knew someone who built, actually made their whole front yard into a garden and took down the fences, and then they also put up one of those like book borrowing things, and they've just seen some wonderful transformation in their neighborhood of people coming, and they just let them pick stuff out of the garden. And so ask the Lord what intentions he has for you in your neighborhood, and wait and listen to what those things are. And to the ends of the earth. He told them to be witnesses to the ends of the earth as well, and he tells us that too. We need to ask, what is that, God? How am I a witness to the end of the earth? Well, maybe that's not so far away. Maybe that's in our own community. Maybe that you just don't know where things are going. It could be traveling someplace. It could be on a mission trip. I don't know. You have to ask for you. And also when we're interacting and going into places, asking questions. I got to meet with Paul Hughes, who is the director of Hospitality House, which is an amazing ministry in this valley. They minister to our homeless community. And they don't just minister them. They help them walk from being homeless to having a job, to being a part of the community again, to having a home. And I asked him, well, what's the biggest hurdle to go from being homeless to having a job and to having a home? And he said, it's self-confidence. We didn't talk about any stuff they needed. It was self-confidence. They need mentors to walk alongside them. I was expecting a different answer. We have a team that goes up to Alaska, and we've actually changed the name. We don't, even though we will call it a mission trip, we call it in lots of places a partnership. Because there is an awesome community up there that has a whole lot to give. And this isn't a situation that we're just going up and helping. It is a situation where we're helping one another. I've gone there twice now, and I always feel like I've grown so much more than I've given. We've asked and we've listened in these places. We're going to be talking to our kids about how can you ask good questions? How can you get to know the people in this community when we travel up there this year? And we have a trip next Sunday. We leave for Nicaragua. Six of us will be traveling to Managua to work with the kids at the El Puente School. And I gave them this long, like, itinerary of the things we're going to, the travel plans and all those things. But when it comes to when we're there, I don't know what the Lord has in store for us. But we need to be asking and we need to be listening. And I would ask you to pray for our team when we're there, that we can have hearts to learn, that we are guided by where the Holy Spirit wants us to be. Our outreach and mission team is where we are reading a book right now, and I pulled this quote out of it. And it's not like, you're probably not going to put this on Instagram or Facebook, but It says there will likely be lots of ups and downs in the relationship. It all sounds very time-consuming. And I thought this was important because these aren't easy things. Asking and listening isn't easy. It isn't easy to walk alongside all the time. It takes time to be a mentor. It takes time to develop relationship in a community in Alaska. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's awkward, right? I feel like my life is so awkward. Because sometimes I do things that I feel like I should go talk to this person, and then it just it feels weird, but that's okay. It's not always going to feel perfect. Don't worry about it. We can learn to walk through some of those awkward places to experience the beauty of what God has in store for us. So I ask you today, what are you asking? What are you asking of the Holy Spirit? Are you asking, should I get in that river right now? Are you asking, should I let go of the side and follow the lead of where it wants me to go? Are you asking to get back in because maybe you were off in one of those lakes on the side? Are you asking to have the ice melted over sin in your life, to be released from it, to experience that grace that is right there for you? Are you letting it flow into your life? Are you starting here and going out into your family and asking questions of your family? Are you asking, God, where do you want me to go in your neighborhood? What color of table should I put in my front yard? It's okay to ask the color. Are you asking, where might he have your heart long for this world? Are you asking what that might look like? What if for this week and beyond, but I challenge you for this week to pray daily. Pray to ask and listen. Pray about, how do I do that, God? What does it look like? What would our community and world and families and homes look like if we were asking these questions and listening to the Holy Spirit in our lives? Would we look like that beautiful river flowing through this valley? I can only imagine how beautiful it can be. I'd like to pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for this gift that you have given to us. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we get to have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to be our guides. God, I ask that you help us to ask the important questions today. And God, I ask that you help us to stop and take the time to listen to where you would have us go. I ask that we continue to seek you in all of the turns that life takes, that your Holy Spirit is guiding every one of those. I ask for hearts to flow into our homes, into our neighborhoods. I ask for neighborhoods that, because of our church, that can thrive and deeply know one another. I ask that what you put on our hearts helps this world to be surrounded and united through you, God, rather than divided. what would it look like, God? I ask you to help us to be a part of your work in the world that accomplishes what you would have us do. In your Son's name, we pray. Amen.